Morning. We are continuing our study in the book of Deuteronomy this morning, so please find chapter 2, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 2. If you have a New King James Version Bible, you'll notice that the translators have given you a title to this section, so to speak, called the Desert Years. The official term for these titles in your Bible are called pericopes. And so we have in verse 1, we see the diary of Moses concerning this time period, the time period of the desert years. Verse 1 says, "Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, and the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days." If you have an NIV Bible, it translates many days a long time. And so these phrases designate the period of time as the wandering years, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So children, listen. When your parents promise you something wonderful tomorrow or next week, it's not a long time. Okay? 40 years is a long time. So if you ask for something and they say long time, don't hold your breath. Okay? But tomorrow or next week, it's not a long time. Okay, so after 40 years of wilderness wanderings, all the people of the generation that disobeyed God have passed, have died. Kind of makes you wonder if God was cleansing His special nation at this time. Think? Also kind of makes you wonder, I wonder if dads and moms were discipling their children, I wonder if there would have been a need to give the law a second time. Something to ponder there. And then here we are 40 years later, and children have a lot of baggage. Now we got to work through that. Hey, if we would get at it from the beginning, right? Anybody tracking with me?
I am.
Okay. And so God revisited Israel, invited them to come into the land again. Okay? The promised land. And really, what does this reveal about God's character to us? God is faithful in keeping His promises, even when we are not faithful. God is faithful, even when we fail. God is the author of faithful, and because God is unchanging in His agape love, His unconditional love, He is faithful even when we are not. Now, beloved, please be careful concerning those who claim God's promises for themselves and or for you when they are a promise given to His special nation, Israel. If you are of Gentile descent, don't expect God to fulfill that promise in your life. Don't expect God to pull you out of the wilderness. Don't stake a claim in this verse right here. If you're having a wilderness experience, say, God's going to pull me out. Or expect Him to show you a land where to build your house or to move to. Well, He did it for Israel. Israel is His chosen nation. Well, He should do it for me then. Well, what if He don't? He's God, right? And so, on the other hand, make no mistake, though, if you are experiencing a spiritual dryness now, or you're having a wilderness experience, His Word is absolutely 100% capable of lifting you up and out. of whatever it is that you're into. The Word of God is completely able. And learn to discern also. Not everything in this world, beloved, is of the devil. Not everything in this world is of God. Man-made stuff is around us. Man-made ideas, man-made ways of doing church. It's around. All kinds of man-made stuff. So learn to discern. Yes, our sovereign, ever-loving God, faithful God, allows things to happen. And He allows these situations to grow us. He allows these situations to burn off dross, to purify us, to grow us in our faith, to trust Him even more. Yes, He uses those things. But don't over-spiritualize everything. Don't over-spiritualize buying a car. Don't look for the verse in here that will lead you to a Ford rather than a Chevrolet or whatever. It's not in here, okay? It's not in here. However, He's given us 31 chapters of ways to seek and find wisdom. It's called Proverbs. And so you learn to discern. You learn to make wise choices. And so on that note, I'm getting a word from the Lord. Buy a Ford. GM is going bankrupt. So why would you want to buy a GM? And there's your sign. Verse 2. And the Lord spoke to me. Okay, this is Moses speaking. Verse 2. Saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward and command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land, no, not as much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money, that you may eat. You shall also buy water from them with money, that you may drink. For the Lord, your God, has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows your trudging through the great wilderness these 40 years. Many days, long time, folks. And the Lord, your God, has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Now, beloved, while we're on the subject of God's character, back up to verse 5 and see His faithfulness to Esau. God has given Esau some property, some real estate here, and God is not a deal breaker. God is a promise keeper. Okay? He keeps His promises. Doesn't matter who they're to. If God has given a promise, you can depend on it. And if there's anyone here this morning who hasn't trusted Christ, then today is the day of salvation. If you have trusted in His complete work on the cross, then you can bank on that promise for all eternity. If you have not, God is still faithful to His Word, and you can trust His Word. In 1 John 5, verse 12, he states, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so you can bank on His Word. We can also see in verse 7 that Israel has been provided for so faithfully by God, lacking nothing. Even the other nations, Moses said, that God had given them their land. Everything had come from God. And so how about us? Do we acknowledge that everything we have comes from God? Do we acknowledge that the clothes we have on this morning come from God? Do we acknowledge that the food we eat, the house we live in? How about the toys we play with? Stoney's smiling over there. You know, man's toys too. They're just bigger, more expensive. But I was talking to the children. What about the toys you play with? You know, those are gifts from God. Yeah, your parents gave them to you. But think it all the way through, and where did it all begin? It's gifts from God. And so this really ought to affect the way that we view our possessions, how we treat our possessions. Do we leave our toys out in the rain? Or do we leave them where other people can step on them? Stoney shaking his head, nope, not him. No way. Okay, and so knowing that these are gifts from God, it ought to change the way we view other people's possessions too, and how we treat their stuff. You know, do you treat it the same way that you treat your things, children? Or do you abuse it because it doesn't belong to you? You don't have a nickel in it. We should treat it, all things, the way we would treat our own stuff. Very special way. Did not God allow them to have it? And so at the same time, beloved, though, we need to be content with what we have. We need to be content with our stuff. Satisfied that with what God has allowed us to have, what God has entrusted us with, and be excited, really excited for brothers and sisters who may seem to have more than we do. Praise the Lord for them. You know? That's great. By the way, beloved, Esau denied Israel passage here. He said, no, you're not passing through. He may have allowed him to go along the border, kind of take the long way out. You can see that in Numbers 20 and verse 18. Esau denied passage. And so if God knows all, and he does, right? And he knew Esau would deny passage. What was he looking for here? Why would he send them there? What's the deal? Obedience, right? Faithfulness to his word. What did he tell them to do? Told them to go, right? So there's nothing new under the sun. And so it's not what kind of car or how big and where the house is. It's obedience and faithfulness to his word. That's the key. That's the point here. That is what God is after. Obedience. Faithfulness. And notice, really, I did kind of avoid the why question about God. Why would God send Israel to Esau? Rather, I addressed the what instead. But really, the why question is actually an easier one to answer. You know, why? You hear all the why questions. Why God this? Why God that? Pastor Ryan pointed that out a couple weeks ago. Psalm 115 in verse 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. That's the answer to all of the why questions of God. He's God. He does whatever he pleases. And we can't get our minds around what pleases him and what doesn't please him. That's the problem we have. And so one would think that after 40 years of wilderness experience, God would have granted them a shortcut through Edom. After all, following God is easy, right? Amen? Does it ever seem like folks that aren't really running after God, following God, seem to be like they're on easy street, they got this carefree thing going on? Just like, what is the deal here? Beloved, don't ever fall into that lie or believe that. Those people are hurting inside. They've got a hole that only Christ can fill. And their camouflaged exterior is nothing but a smokescreen. Pray for them. Besides, you are content with what God has given you, right? Amen? Doesn't matter what your neighbor has. Now, in verses 8 through 23, we see more of God's faithfulness, his promises and gifts to other nations. Among these nations, we see the Moabites and the Ammonites, who were both descendants of Abraham's nephew, Lot. And so, beloved, if you leave here with nothing else this morning, know and understand that God is faithful. He's faithful. Turn to your neighbor, to your left and your right, and tell them God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. Verse 24. Rise, take your journey, and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And so God places this fear of Israel on all of her adversaries. Okay, fear is a powerful, overtaking thing. Fear can consume someone, especially one who doesn't know the Lord. Fear could take over. And so, beloved, as we journey through some of these wilderness-like experiences or difficulties that today's world offers up, we have immeasurable comfort knowing that God is in control and that God is faithful to His children. And He's going to go before you and He's going to be with you every step of the way. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, your King James Version Bibles might have called this next pericope or title, so to speak, King Sihon Defeated. And so, really, this real estate here was not actually part of the Promised Land. However, it was in the path of the Promised Land. Okay, and so Moses makes the king an offer that he should not have refused. Verse 26. And I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land, and I will keep strictly up to the road. I will turn neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Let me pass on foot. Just as the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir and the Moabites who dwell in Ar did for me, until I crossed the Jordan to the land which the Lord our God has given us. But King Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through. For the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him to your hand as it is this day. And so we see the refusal here and the hardened heart, much like Pharaoh, in which, again, sometimes it's hard for our minds to grasp this hardening of the heart. It doesn't seem fair. And that's the problem with our human minds. We have trouble with the fairness of God. We have trouble with the election of God. And so we wrestle with this many times. So why this king? You know, why Pharaoh? You know, why me? You know, sometimes we just wrestle and we ask. Well, of course, we know, beloved, right? God does what he pleases. Amen. However, King Sihon, like Pharaoh, had many opportunities to turn to God. Many chances. God desires that none should perish. None. That word none in the Greek and in the Hebrew means none. Zippy poo is the correct translation for that. He wants all to come to repentance. And so the hardening of the heart is only God confirming the path already chosen by the individual. God says, you want it that way? Have it your way. And he turns them over to their own lusts, the lusts of their heart, Romans 1:24. He just turns them over. And evidently, there is a point in which this is irreversible. But be careful. As long as someone is breathing, there is a chance for repentance. Never judge a hardened heart, beloved, especially one that you've been praying for. Don't ever stop praying for that person. As long as they're breathing, there is a chance that God will extend His grace and give them the faith that they need to believe. He is the only righteous judge. He is faithful. You know, and really, grace and faith, are these not gifts from God? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is the gift of God so that nobody can boast. Yeah, we're going to get into boasting right here. Now, verse 31, and the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it that you may inherit his land. And Sihon and all his people came out against us to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord, our God, delivered him over to us. So we defeated him, his sons, and all his people. We took all his cities at that time, and we utterly destroyed the men, women, and little ones of every city. We left none remaining. We only took the livestock as plunder for ourselves with the spoil of the cities which we took. And so the question about is war ever just or legitimate has to be answered yes. Yes. However, all war is not justified. The majority of wars are really inexcusable. The majority of wars are human selfishness. And God places His divine limitations here. We're going to see God's hand in heading off pride and heading off boasting. Okay, they took the livestock and certain portion of the land. They didn't overturn the whole country. The children of Ammon were free from the invasion, verse 37. You see that? It was forbidden ground. Don't go there. And so God limits success. And it's a good thing that He does. It is a good thing that He does. Ambition must abide by His judgment, His righteous judgment. It's the only right judge. He is the only right judge. And so when God's will is respected, and when obedience and self-discipline and denial to self are kept in check, the dangers of self-success are thus avoided. Look what I did. Look what He did. Because He is faithful. Humble yourself, and He will exalt you. God is faithful. Pastor Bob.